Well, thank you for that. Oops. Already throwing things around. I'll tell you what, my heart was blessed this morning to see the children up here. I'm kind of a big kid at heart, and I'm a children's pastor by trade some of the time, and so to see you guys up here leading worship and doing all that, you guys are awesome. You guys rock. I'm so excited about what you guys are doing. And you know what? Not only are these kids the next generation of your church, they're the next generation of leaders in this community. They're the next generation of leaders in the workforce and beyond. You know, so if you haven't come in the doors and turned right yet, please take time to do that and go over there and see what's going on back there, because you might think, you know what, somebody else has got it. I can't make an impact. You can. And these kids, they're amazing. And I would love for you to get a chance to spend time with them. Like I said, I'm a big kid at heart, and one of my favorite places in the world, and I know this is going to sound funny to some of you, but it's Cedar Point. I just love it. I love the atmosphere. I love the roller coasters, the thrill rides. I love the games. I love the greasy food. I'm crazy, I know. I love the lines. I love waiting in line with my friends and family and just cracking jokes and just having a good time hanging out. I love the atmosphere. For me, spending a day at Cedar Point with friends and family is a great way to spend a day. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm crazy. Thank you. And, you know, I grew up actually not too far from here in southeastern Michigan. In about seventh grade, my youth group went to Cedar Point, so I took my first trip to Cedar Point. And every year since then, I've gone probably once or twice a year. It's just a place I've got to visit every summer if I can. And my favorite ride is probably the Magnum, you know, classic. It's old at this point, but just classic hill, pretzel turn at the back, the bumps on your way back in. It's just great. But there's one ride, as much as I love Cedar Point, there's one ride that I vowed I'll never ride again. It's called Max Air. I don't know if you guys have been there and you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who haven't seen it, what this ride is, it's a big pendulum. At the bottom of the pendulum, there's a circle with seats facing outward. I don't know, maybe 50, 75 seats. And you strap in. And what happens is this pendulum starts swinging back and forth. And then that circle on the bottom where you're sitting, it starts spinning around and around and around. So you're not only going like this, but you're also spinning like that. And this ride is massive. I mean, it looks like something that no human being should ever get on. And I'm convinced that this ride was designed to make people sick. And I found it out the hard way. The summer that Max Air opened, you know, Cedar Point typically every summer will open a new attraction or roller coaster or thrill ride. And the summer that Max Air opened, I was pumped. You know, the new ride, Max Air, this is going to be great. So we get there, we ride a couple rides, and we get in line for Max Air. Here we go. Get strapped in. Everything's going great. I'm ready to go. You know, I've done this before. I was one of the, you know, rode the Millennium Force the summer it opened, rode the Power Tower the summer it opened. You know, this is tradition. You know, you got to do it. So I'm riding Max Air, get strapped in, and it starts going. About 30 seconds in, I realized this was a big mistake. Because it's swinging back and forth, it's spinning round and round, and my stomach is swinging back and forth and spinning round and round, and I'm getting dizzy, and I'm getting nauseous, and I just feel like I have the flu. You know, it's just like, oh my goodness, this ride can't get over soon enough. But it keeps going. And I mean, it hasn't even gotten up to speed yet, and now it's finally whipping. And I don't know exactly how fast this thing goes, but when you see it up close, this thing is cooking. It is unbelievable. And on one of the swings where the pendulum got up to about its highest swing, now don't forget the bottom is still turning, I'm looking up and I'm kind of calculating in my head. It looks like when we reach the highest point, I'm going to be sitting in my chair facing the sky, you know? But I also catch out of the corner of my eye, there's a seagull that's flying, and I'm kind of doing this math in my head, and I'm going, it looks a lot like I'm going to reach that point at the same time that seagull does. And before I can even finish that thought, sure enough, We reach the point at the same time, and I bump into that bird, and it's kind of freaking out, and it flaps its wings in my face. The people around me are laughing at me, and I'm going, I didn't sign up for this, you know? And not only do I feel like I have the flu, but now I have the bird flu, and it's just a mess, you know? So anyway, the ride finally slows, and I'm just, you know, thank the Lord, get me off this thing, and we finally slow down, and I get off, and I'm telling you, the rest of my day was thrown off. My equilibrium was off. I had to sit down for the next 2 hours sipping water. And everything that I had expected from that ride, all of my anticipation, everything that I had built up was just such a letdown. I had just been knocked around. I felt like that ride just chewed me up and spit me out. You know, and when I got the phone call a couple days ago, Brett telling me that his mother had become ill and asking if I could fill in for him, I started thinking, okay, you know, what am I going to talk about? You know, I've got a couple days here, and, you know, I just started feeling like, you know, this life, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I've gone through some things where I've felt like, man, I've been knocked around. I've been pushed around. I've been spun around. I've been spit out. I've been chewed up. And you know, this life presents its struggles. Some of us right now, you know what, we may not be in the valley. We may be on top of the world, you know, and that's great because you know what? God wants to use you to encourage someone. But some of us are going through it right now. Some of us right in this room, it might be some stuff out of our control. You might have lost a job or you're struggling with your health. And there's just nothing, you know, you're just waiting for answers. You're waiting for hope to show up, you know? Some of us might be struggling with something internally that we're just keeping inside, that we're ashamed to talk about because we're dreading the day we're going to have to explain to someone why we're struggling with this in our life, you know? But you know what? I want to encourage each and every one of us this morning that there is hope to be found in Jesus Christ. There is peace to be found in Him, and there is courage in His name. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your past is, no matter what you're currently going through or what you could possibly go through in the future, you can find hope and peace and courage in Him. I'd like to pull up a scripture here real quick. John 16, 33. In the passages leading up to this verse right here, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's kind of talking about how he's going to have to go away and his second coming. And he's just giving them some advice. And he kind of closes his thoughts with this verse. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You know what? I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what you're going through, no matter what struggle it is, Christ has already overcome that struggle on your behalf so that you can have victory in His name. So if that's you today, the next few minutes that we get to spend together, and even if it's not you, just join me as we explore here the love of Jesus Christ and how massive that really is for us. I've been told ever since I was a kid about the love of Jesus Christ. I grew up in the church, went to Christian school, went to Bible college. I know all the stories, I know all the right answers, and I've been told these stories and I've been told about the love of Jesus Christ ever since I was a kid. But sometimes I think we really don't let it sink in. Because it's one of those things that we hear over and over and over again. But when you're in the midst of a struggle, when you're in the midst of pain, and you're internally struggling, it's hard to believe that God loves you. Especially when you're struggling with something you know you shouldn't be struggling with. But you know what? This morning, I just want to dare you to trust that God loves you just the way you are. kids, adults, and everyone in between, that God loves you just the way you are and not as you should be. Because you're never going to be as you should be. Not until the other side of this life. So allow God to love you right where you're at today. Allow Him to do that. You know what? Just a few months ago, my wife and I welcomed our first child to the world. A baby boy. Oh, thank you. A baby boy, Jesse Nicholas. And for probably the last 8 to 10 years, people close to me, cousins and close friends, and my brother even, have been having children. You know, just intermittently, I kind of reached that stage about 8 to 10 years ago when everyone around me started welcoming children into the world, you know, and I thought I got it. You know, I would go and visit the hospital and hold these little babies in my arms and think, wow, this is an incredible miracle. And I would congratulate them and share in their joy. And I even thought to myself, oh man, I can't wait to have kids. That's going to be amazing. And I thought I kind of understood it. You know, I'm not a bad guy. I'm a pretty nice guy. I thought I kind of got it, you know. Well, just a little over 3 months ago, when I drove my wife into the hospital for her labor and delivery, and just a few long hours later, when I was holding that little baby boy in my arms for the first time, it hit me how little I really got it. I was just like, whoa, I can't believe how much my life has just changed in an instant. I can't believe how quickly I've fallen head over heels in love with this little kid. And you know, for the next couple weeks right after he was born, I was completely mesmerized and enamored with this little boy. You know, I still am, but I mean, I was like, it was tunnel vision. You know, I couldn't focus on anything else. I was just like completely in awe. And I would find myself up late at night just staring into his bassinet, you know, watching him sleep. He's not doing anything. I'm just watching him sleep. And I remember telling that to a group of people shortly after he was born, saying, man, before you know it, it'll be 2 a.m. and I'm just staring at this little boy watching him sleep. And my uncle chimed in and said, you know what's even more amazing? That's how the Heavenly Father feels about us. I went, whoa. Not only did I not understand this whole childbirth thing, but all these years, and I've just been lent a brand new perspective on the Father's love for us. Parents can relate to what I'm talking about. Holding that child for the first time, friends, that is just the tip of the iceberg, beginning to explain of how much love the Father has for you and for me. And I was just floored, thinking, this is unbelievable. And over the last few months, my walk with Christ has gone to a different place because of that new perspective. And I'm excited about where it's headed because of that new perspective that I've been given becoming a father. It's unbelievable. But you know, like I said earlier, we get told that over and over again. We get told about the love of Jesus Christ. We get told what He's done for us, how much He loves us. And sometimes it takes something like that to really give us a new perspective, to really let it sink in. Now, some of us here, we're walking with the Lord. We have a relationship with Him. We may be struggling, but we know Him. We know where we're at with Him. And if that's you, my challenge to you today is go deeper. Because you know what? God, He loves you that much, and He's desperately wanting to go deeper with you. No matter where you're at, He wants to go deeper. He wants to get more intimate with you. Some of you may have questions about this, and you're not sure really what Jesus Christ has really done for you. There's a story that's told about a young recruit who goes off to Paris Island to go to basic training with hopes of becoming a Marine, okay? Now, basic training to become a Marine, I've never done it myself, but I hear it's crazy stuff. You know, it's I probably couldn't hang at this stage in my life. You know, it's not the easiest training to go through. And this young recruit, he didn't quite fit the stereotypical mold of what you would think a Marine would be. And the other recruits in the area picked up on it pretty quickly. And this young man kind of found himself being the brunt of practical joke after practical joke. And it was just, as basic training wore on, the jokes became more and more harsh. And they were just having their way with this young man, basically. And finally, all the men in his barracks got together. They had figured out the ultimate way to get him. The ultimate practical joke. This was going to be the cherry on top of everything. This was going to be it. What they had done is they found a disarmed grenade. Basically, it was a fake grenade. It looked real, but the explosives have been removed. And the plan was, on their way back in for the night, when they were all coming into the barracks, someone was going to toss the grenade in the middle of the room and start screaming, "It's a live grenade, run for your lives, run for your lives." Everybody was in on it except this guy. And they all just were waiting. What's going to happen? Is he going to break down in tears? Is he going to cry for his mom? Is he going to jump through a window, hide under the bed? What's he going to do? So the time comes and the plan goes off just like they talked about. They toss the grenade in the middle of the room. They all start screaming, "Run for your lives! It's a live grenade! Run for your lives!" And before they even realize what's happening, this young man is not breaking down in tears, is not hiding under a bed, is not crashing through a window. He's sprinting for the center of the room, dives on the grenade, pulls it into his chest and wraps his body around it and starts screaming at the other men in the room, "Save yourselves, you still have time, get out while you can." And the room fell silent as those men realized that the man that they had ridiculed, made fun of, scorned, completely disowned, was the one who was willing to die to save their lives. And they stood there in awe, ashamed, in silence. Friends, that is what Jesus Christ has done for us. And there is nothing, as I said earlier, that you have done in your life, that you are currently going through and struggling with and presently doing or could possibly do, that could separate you from that love. I want to pull up another scripture here to kind of bring that home. From Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6. "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I love those words. Really put into perspective what Christ did on the cross. All right, kids. It's time for a little science lesson, okay? This is going to be some big stuff. You guys ever heard of Einstein? Yeah. We're going to do a little Einstein science lesson. So you can go back to school this fall and tell your teachers you learned about the theory of relativity, okay? according to that theory of Einstein, I'm not joking, I'm going to teach it to you. The theory of relativity, time is relative to motion. What that means is that the faster that we travel, the more time is compressed. Okay? So theoretically, if you could get in a rocket ship and travel into outer space at 170,000 miles per second, not miles per hour now, miles per second, like 170,000, right there, boom. Okay? 170,000 miles per second and maintain that speed and come back 10 years later, you would be 10 years older, but the rest of us who stayed here would be 20 years older. Theoretically now, okay? So 20 years of our time staying here would be compressed into 10 years of your time traveling at that great speed. Now, if you could travel in that rocket ship at 180,000 miles per second, 20 years of our time would be compressed into 1 day of your time. Whoa. Now, here's where it gets kind of crazy. If you could travel at 186,000 miles per second, that's the speed of light, then all of time would be compressed into one instantaneous now. Basically, everything would be simultaneous. Crazy, huh? So essentially, if you could travel at the speed of light, time as we know it would cease to exist. Crazy. I believe that when Jesus Christ hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, he was both God and man, as contradictory as that sounds. As a man, he died. However, because he was also God on that cross, he was and he is simultaneously present with each and every human being across the broad spectrum of humanity. What I'm telling you is that even as I say these words, Christ is present with each and every one of us at Calvary. From the cross, he's looking at us right now. In his goodness, Jesus experiences time in another dimension. That's why he could say, before Abraham was, I am. He wasn't just using poor grammar. What he was saying is that before there ever was an Abraham, that was present tense for him. And right now is present tense for him, and on the cross was present tense for him. What he's also telling us is that each and every one of us are a part of his eternal plan, his eternal now. And as he hangs on the cross 2,000 years ago, he is simultaneously present with each and every one of us. And if you will let him, he will reach out from the cross today to connect with you. And like a sponge, he will absorb out of you the dark side of your humanity. He'll drain out of you everything that is dirty and filthy and ugly. It will be absorbed into his being, into his person. That is why the scriptures say that he who knew no sin became sin for our sake. Friends, what I'm telling you, what I said earlier, is that Jesus Christ loves you more than you could ever possibly imagine. And you know what I love about it? That science lesson, I lost myself there in there somewhere. But you know what? The message of Jesus Christ is so simple. You know what the Bible says? that if you will believe in your heart, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you shall be saved. How simple is that? It's too simple. That's why some people shy away from it. That's just too simple. There's got to be more to it than that. God's got to expect something from me. I've got to earn it somehow, right? No. So no matter where you're at today, if there's something in your life that you just need to give over to God, if you just need to go deeper, or if you want to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ today, whichever one of those you are, please, before you leave here today, find someone. At the end of service, there's going to be a prayer team right over here. They're here for you. Come and ask questions. They would be happy to take the next steps with you, no matter what they are. Thank you so much for letting me spend some time with you this morning. Brett sends his love. He appreciates the prayers. And it's been an honor to be here with you. And kids, you guys are incredible. One last thing to you guys. Don't ever, ever be afraid to stand up for what's right. Don't ever be afraid of it. You guys blessed my heart this morning singing, and I was just so thrilled that I had a chance to be here. I think we have one more special thing before we close up. There's going to be, I think Riley is coming up to say a prayer. Is that right? Thank you very much.